Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology, and today I am joined by my buddies Kip and Spencer to discuss this weekend's upcoming Super Bowl matchup. We're going to take a look at some of the other news in the world of sports, although most of our focus today will be on the Super Bowl and some of our predictions and thoughts about the Super Bowl. We're even going to look at Rihanna's chart, which will be fun. She's performing at the halftime. I want to remind everybody, if you're new to this particular series, that we decided, I think I decided it was sometime over the summer, that it would be nice to do some astrology of sports episodes, specifically as a way of reaching out to try and meet and bring in more male audience members. We have about 85% of the audience who watches this channel, and broadly speaking, similar numbers in terms of those who are interested in and consume astrology content in general. Most tend to be women. And that's great, no problem there, but hopefully try to make some content to bring in more diversity and maybe some astrological topics here that, you know, will be interesting to women out there who are always telling me, hey, how could I get my husbands more interested or whatever. So, but also just because there are sports fans of all walks of life, and hopefully people who like sports and astrology will get something out of this. This happens to be a big hobby and passion of mine, Kip's, and Spencer's, outside of our jobs and, you know, our hobby studies and interests in astrology. And so it's also fun to just get together and talk about the astrology of the athletes that we love and the teams that we follow. So on that note, welcome back, Kip, and welcome back, Spencer. Glad to have you guys back to talk about the Super Bowl this weekend.
Hello, friends.
Can't wait.
Yeah, so I know we're going to spend a bunch of time talking about the Super Bowl, but I feel like I have to start off telling a story to everybody about some things that have happened since the last episode that we did. One of them was a really valuable lesson for me in the art of divination. So I'm just going to start off with that story. So you guys remember last time that we met, we talked about a whole bunch of different things. And we looked at the playoffs and stuff like that. Kip and Spencer both had some really interesting insights over the NFL season that definitely came to fruition. Spencer had a great one on the Super Bowl we're going to talk about in a little bit. I had been doing pretty well on the season with my horaries. I have to look back at my numbers, but I think I didn't cast for every game, but I think I ended up going something like 8-4 in terms of the horaries I got right and wrong. And the ones I got wrong, some of them were really good lessons in terms of like learning the craft of contest horaries and stuff like that. And I shared some of those on Instagram. But here's what I did with the last one, because I went to the Vikings playoff game against the Giants. They got beat. It was a close game, but the Vikings had basically zero defense show up in the game. And I had done a horary that looked like they would win. And it was like one of those horaries where you look at it and you really couldn't make a case for the Giants winning in that horary. It was very, very clear. So I was like, in hindsight, I was like, well, what the heck? What did I get wrong? And then I realized, once I knew they were going to the playoffs, I cast the I Ching and I said, how will they do in the playoffs overall? And the answer from the I Ching was the hexagram that is called decrease, which is basically not a good answer, right? So you have the idea of like a pitcher of water being dumped out. So it's like not a good picture. I cast that horary because I thought, well, I think overall they're not going to make it to the Super Bowl, right? Like they're not going to, that divination from the I Ching to me was a very clear, you're not going to win this thing, right? But then I thought, well, but maybe they'll win the first game, you know, like maybe they lose in the second or third game. And so maybe they'll win the first game. So I thought I'll cast a horary for the first game and I got a dud. So the lesson of that for me was that I've learned time and time and time again that you should not ask the same question twice. Even if you think you're making some small variation on the question, I have found time and time again that you should just listen. If you ask the oracle and you took up, you know, it's almost like, you know, in the ancient world, I might have had to give up like a sheep or a goat or something to get that answer. you know? So I'm not, it's not a good idea to just like willy nilly be like, all right, let me just huck one up again from half court and hope this one hits, you know, maybe I'll get past the first round. So that was a really valuable lesson for me. That was a dud chart, I would call it, which the way that my teachers have taught me is like, sometimes you'll get a chart and it literally just won't work. It's just like, it's a picture of the sky, but it's not a significant oracular moment. It's just, you thought you were casting a chart and the sky is just giving you a no answer. And it's a bit like the magic eight ball when you shake it and it sometimes says, you know, I'm not going to talk to you or come again later or something. So at any rate, that was a really good lesson for me and hopefully a lesson I can pass on to all of you, which is, you know, in sports horary or sports divination in general, if you ask a question, don't ask it again. Even if you think you're asking some little variation on the question, it's like a legal loophole, I don't recommend it. So
this reminds me of the first time I ever used tarot cards, and I kind of stopped afterwards. It was actually a deck my grandfather, my Zadie, who's deceased, had left to me. And I laid out the big spread, and I was asking whether Donald Trump was going to be elected president. And it wasn't going well. And the final card was the Tower. And I was terrified, and I just zoomed them all up and put them away. And I was like, oh, geez, that can't be right. And then I subsequently spent the next like 18 months looking at the astrology of the election, trying to convince myself that that wasn't going to happen. Yep. And nothing could do it, even when it.
Yeah,
and
even when the omens were positive. I learned this lesson the hard way through fantasy football this year. I was going, which of a stable of wide receivers have the best week? And I would list each one of them and pull a card for every single receiver. And sometimes I got that I would do, and then I'd do another one like before the actual games would start. And that didn't sound so well. I would do it for each position. I was like, which running back should I start today? So
it's funny how like one of the things that my the teacher I spent the longest with time with studying horary, John Frawley, one of the things that he has said, and I'm just paraphrasing, but is basically like, yeah, don't forget that it, you know, there's, when you talk to an oracle, there should be something at stake, and there should be a sense of sacrifice. And almost like, imagine that, I mean, this isn't really accurate, but almost like imagine that you have a handful of tokens and you can only go to the Zoltar machine so many times in your life before the Zoltar machine like curses you. I don't think that sports divination is off limits, but I think you have to make sure that you have a horse in the race if you're going to do a divination, like a predictive divination. I think that's much different than looking at charts, like birth charts, and being, you know, having an informed idea about what the archetypes are saying about players or coaches in big games and sort of deriving from that ideas about what the outcome might be. With divination, you're asking the sky to give you the answer. And so that's, to me, that there should be something more at stake. And one of the things is that like one of my teachers said that they would literally place bets on the horse races that they would call with divination, but not big ones, something just to show the gods, like $5 that like I've got some skin in the game or whatever. But I think, again, I think that's something to be done when you're specifically asking the sky to give you a predictive outcome. I think that it's a little different than archetypal work within birth charts.
I think that's a great opportunity and disclaimer that this show today is not financial advice.
And yeah.
That this is entertainment for entertainment purposes only.
That's right. And if you want to win, if you want to bet, if you win, then you should share some with us because of the great knowledge that we gave you. And if you lose, then you should remember what we said, where we said that we have no good advice to give you. It's just for entertainment.
Well, and I'll say too, I'll take this opportunity to like, you know, maybe make a peace offering to the fans of Philadelphia that came and tried to hang me, week when I posted a little clip of a prediction that I made a few months ago. And yeah, they were encouraged to have some skin in the game for the divination.
Right? They're good at that.
Their skin in the game is a little different. I want to read what they wrote just because I think that this is like, you know, when the celebrities go on the talk shows and they make them read their hate Twitters. Sparkles of Gold says to Spencer, who correctly predicted the two teams in the Super Bowl in October's episode, the Eagles and the Chiefs. This is a Philadelphia sports fan who's upset that you also propose that they will lose the Super Bowl. Throw down $300 sports book and back it up.
That's actually Nicholas. Pronounce his last name, but you know Nicholas, who's like
Paul Maneko or whatever?
Yeah, that's him. Yeah. I don't know if he's from Philly originally, but I think he was just messing with me.
He's different.
Yeah,
this one. This is a good one. Put a stack on your feelings, you fucking nitwit.
that one was fun.
That's that was a little bit more pointed.
What did he mean by that?
I don't know. Is that his version of put your money where your mouth is? Honestly, I don't actually have any emotional attachment to who wins, loses. I was just, you know, looking at the charts, and I don't actually have anything against Philadelphia or the Chiefs for that matter. So, you know, for me, it's kind of like a don't shoot the messenger type of thing, right? Where it's just like, I'm just the oracle here. I'm not, you know.
I think we should get back to shooting the messenger. So I'm going to read the
Okay.
This one, I'm just kidding. This one says, you see, bro, y'all will never be taken seriously if y'all don't put up. Kind of like me, but I'm poor, though. I have weekly track records. I don't know what exactly he means by that. I think this guy's actually into astrology on some level. But he is, once again, chiming in, being like, oh, you got a correct prediction. You're so awesome. Why don't you put some money on it? So we'll say again that you can have fun with the astrology of sports, and you don't have to put money on it.
I think for me, personally, the stumbling part of it is slippery slope. Like I've tried to save money for such a long time that, like, you know, I think if we get to gambling for sports purposes, if we have worked really hard for our dough and have been kind of socking it away, that can get really sticky really quickly. Not saying that there isn't a time and a place for that if you have, you know, an extra resource or something. But for me, I get really uncomfortable. I'm just like, you know, that's cool if you want to do that. It's not necessarily for me. I'm just having fun with this.
Okay, well, here's a pop quiz for you guys. Which outer planetary transit would you correlate in the past 10 years with the rocket takeoff, the launch pad, the blast off of sports gambling? Because it's just gone bananas. So what outer planetary transit?
Neptune, if you had for sure.
Neptune and Pisces.
I think that would work, yeah. I think because it's...
I'm willing to say it's Neptune and Pisces and Pluto and Capricorn because of the restructuring of it really is a fundamental restructuring of the general system of capital in the United States. But if you look at the history of legalized gambling in the Western world, it's much older than that transit. Actually, I just listened to a really interesting book it wasn't based on gambling. It was based on the deregulation of markets for the benefit of different governmental units and the deleterious effect of the populations based on that. And it mostly was focused on England. Needless to say, in England and especially Australia, we're talking about 30 years now of almost completely deregulated gambling. So
interesting.
So I think that the United States in general, the loosening of some of those structures as far as how we invest our imaginative time, the places that are outside the structure of the economy, is at least as we're investing our individual free time, I think that that's the transit, because we have legalized weed, we have the expansion of breweries nationwide, and I think gambling fits right in there.
That's interesting. So you'd correlate it with Neptune and Pisces. Goes back, that goes back like, you know, what, like 13 years or so now, something like that. So 2010.
Which traditional planet would you consider associated with gambling? Would you say maybe Mercury?
That's my call, but I honestly don't know what the texts say. Do you know that, Adam?
Well, I mean, I think you have different ways of looking at gambling. Excessive spending could be a Jupiterian thing. Mercury and Saturn could be some kind of addictive tendency. So I think there's different combination. I mean, ancient astrologers seem to think a lot in terms of different planetary combinations. So yeah, so some kind of maybe a Mercury Jupiter, Mercury Saturn, maybe Jupiter Venus even, different kinds of ways of expressing the kind of underlying lust and compulsion. I think for me, what I was going to say is I really noticed it when Uranus was in Aries. Mm-hmm. Not that I actually think I might like Neptune and Pisces better. Not that there has to be just one, but you know, Uranus in Aries struck me as like a time, there was a lot of things that happened while Uranus was in Aries, but it seemed like the legalization of betting and gambling on sports and the freeing up of the sort of barrier put between gambling and sports previously seemed like kind of like a Uranus and Aries thing to me. Like there was a breaking and like a kind of revolution in the world of sports that felt like a Uranus and Aries signature. But yeah, I like Neptune and Pisces as a broader, kind of a slow dissolution of a lot of different social traditions.
That's how I look at it. Yeah.
Well, and this has Neptune has somewhat of an aspirational nature to it as well, wouldn't you say? Like as far as like the dream quality, as far as like let's create a new reality. And I know
I feel like the people that make money gambling too is you're throwing your coins into the ether, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
those are the ones who lose. It's the sharks that win.
I feel like we can't leave Uranus out because Bitcoin also seemed to be correlated with Uranus going into Taurus. And I feel like there's something around like financial regulations and greater freedom around the markets and stuff like that feels like there's a Uranian input coming from some of those transits. Well, anyway.
I think you could definitely go to Pluto and Capricorn there too. I think it's a confluence. I think you're right.
Yeah. 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 There's different, and they're all, I mean, Neptune and Pluto have been in a whole sign sextile with one another. Pluto during Uranus during that whole time was in a square with Pluto. So they were all configured to one another anyway. But anyway, so aside from Spencer getting hated on for being successful, sorry, Spencer, that if you're successful, you're going to have some people hate on you. So you got to, okay. And I'm glad that you were very nice in the comment section. You were very tolerant.
Sure.
Just good.
You know, Adam, at the end of the day, I think especially, you know, with NFL fans, people are just passionate about their team. And I think that a lot of emotions run through that. And I actually have a lot of respect for anybody who's passionately loyal to their team. This is why I can talk to you guys and you're Vikings fans and I'm a Packers fan. I just love that you're passionate about your team. And I'm passionate about my team. And at the end of the day, it's a game. Like, you know, we can have fun with it.
Yeah. It's easy to be like, I love your passion, guys. Your passion is so nice. I've won Super Bowls, but your passion is wonderful.
I mean, you know, this is the relaxed of, you know, someone whose quarterback just spelled it out at various times in his career.
Okay, well, before we get into the Super Bowl, because we are going to like spend most of our time talking about that, I want to know, like, what do you think? You're a Green Bay Packers fan. Aaron Rodgers, is he staying? Is he leaving? You've looked at his birth chart, I assume. What do you think?
I think he's going to get traded this offseason. I thought that last too, so we'll see. I think there's different factors this year, though. If I look at it just from a practical standpoint, I think that he's owed a lot of money over the next few years. And if they trade him, they can take an entire cap this year of like $40 million or something like that. and then their books are clean moving forward. If they keep him, his dead cap money continues to increase the longer he's on the team. Like, Aaron Rodgers really bent over the Green Bay Packers with his contract that he had last year. I do think that Jordan Love is ready, or as ready as he'll ever be, to figure out if he's going to be the guy or not. And I think that the organization is ready to move on. And I think that, you know, Aaron Rodgers is I don't think he's going to retire. I think the last thing he wants to do is go into the Hall of Fame the same year as Tom Brady. He likes the attention too much, I think, you know, and he likes money. I mean, he's got 60 million reasons to retire next year. Right. So,
yeah,
I think that the heavy betting favorites, quote unquote, pardon the pun, as the New York Jets, which would be really interesting because he's followed the Brett Favre mythological Green Bay Packers path, you know, to a T. And wouldn't it be funny if he got traded to the same team that Brett Favre got traded to so many years ago? And then we were joking, you and I, Adam, were joking that it's only inevitable that he'll end up for the Vikings.
That's right.
And then I think the other team that could be in the mix is the Las Vegas Raiders. I think that, you know, he really likes that connection with Devontae Adams. Have a pretty high draft this year. I think Brady retiring only makes it less likely that Rodgers will retire. And it makes the, you know, Rodgers probably the most desirable quarterback on the trade market. So it increases his value, I think, to the Packers to do it this year.
Yeah, I think in that way, and I haven't looked into it astrologically, but if he just wants to make money and put up numbers, the Raiders are such a great place for him to go.
Yeah, it's close to home.
If he wants to have a chance to win, the Jets have a top five defense and a couple of receivers that are really good and a young offensive line that's really talented. I mean, he could win there. But it's also going to be cold, and you know, it's a fan base and a media environment where he's going to get a lot of attention, and it won't all be good.
Yeah, so he'll get a lot more shit there than he probably got in Green Bay.
Well, they just hired his former offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett, too. So that's one feather in the cap. Although everybody was saying he was going to go to Denver when they hired Hackett as their head coach, and he bought there, and he fired and got hired by the Jets. The other interesting storyline would be, you know, the Jets are owned by the two Johnson & Johnson pharmaceutical company. So all of the things that Rodgers has been talking about in the media, he'd probably have to answer to some of them. Could you imagine New York media day one, like with him talking COVID test and all that stuff, and you know, working for the Johnson & Johnson guys. So I think that I think it would be easier for him to Las Vegas for a lot of reasons. Yeah. A lot of reasons.
Plus he's got receivers. They don't really care. If they won 10 games, they'd be thrilled.
I'm putting words in Aaron Rodgers' mouth, and I don't want to be too, I don't want to dump on one of my childhood heroes too much, but because I know that he's into astrology now, because I saw an advertisement with him like doing some kind of astrological conference. But
really?
Yeah, he's like, there's
Deborah Silverman is, I think, his astrologer.
Right. I think that at the end of the day, he said the quiet part out loud. He was like, I still think I can win MVP. And he did say, I still think I can win Super Bowls, right? I think that he'd be okay into his legacy, make more money working with a guy like Devontae Adams, being closer to home in a warmer climate where he's comfortable. He's a Taurus rising. Adam, tell us how much comfort level matters to a Taurus rising, right? Like, I mean, you can speak to that potentially.
I like comfort.
So I mean, like, I think he's going to take the path of least resistance in my mind.
That's interesting. Yeah. You can see, it'd be interesting to see him in San Francisco.
Nightmare inducing.
That's where he's from, right? He's from the Bay Area. Where is he from? No, San Mateo is Tom Brady. He's from Chico.
Chico. Yeah.
I don't think the Packers would trade him to the Niners.
I don't think Niners have the cap. He'd have to adjust his contract. I don't think he's doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here.
But with his chart, though, he has a Venus retrograde in his fourth house over the summer. And that's the ruler of his ascendant as well. And he has the sun coming together with Saturn in his 10th house in the next coming weeks. So to me, that points to him moving on potentially.
Speaking of moving on, I have Tom Brady's chart on the screen. He just announced this past week, he announced his retirement for the second time. It was pretty a self-aware video that where he made it clear he was retiring and said, you don't get too long emotional speeches and I've already had one. So this is it. Goodbye. Thank you, everybody. And that was kind of it. You know, there's a lot of transits you could look at in his chart. Certainly over the past year, he had this long Mars return with the Mars retrograde in Gemini, Jupiter in Gemini. So, you know, that Mars retrograde for him this year was not kind in terms of divorce. This is his seventh house ruler of marriage in terms of, you know, the basically, I would say, deterioration of his play and team, one or the other or both. I mean, he was still serviceable and about even I think he was one of the higher rated quarterbacks in a few categories in the league this year, but
top five in the league in yards.
Yeah.
45 years old.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like you can't say like, oh, he was like, you know, Peyton Manning, when he was going out, it barely looked like he could throw anymore. So it wasn't like that. I mean, he won a Super Bowl obviously, but you know, people were saying like that Peyton Manning, as he was leaving, it was Denver's defense that really helped Peyton Manning win that last championship more than it was his arm at that point. You can't say that Tom Brady didn't go out still looking pretty good as a quarterback, but his team sucked. That was a bad year and he was going through a divorce. So it was a pretty rough patch for sure. That's happening during a year where Saturn is opposite his sun and natal Saturn. It's happening at a time where also you've got that long, like I said, that long Mars retrograde. But I thought what was really interesting is when he retired, Jupiter was conjoining his moon, which is his MC ruler and his 10th house ruler. And there's something about that it's not that I would have sat down and predicted it, but when I looked at the chart and I saw that, I thought, well, that feels like a happily ever after. I don't think he's coming back. I don't think he'll do, you know, because there's been a lot of speculation on ESPN, on the media outlets that I listen to here locally. Oh, you know, if someone gave him an offer, he'll come back. And someone's, you know, like there's a lot of people think he's still going to come back. I'm like, I don't think so this time. I think he's done. And that Jupiter, to me, Jupiter on the moon in the seventh house with the setting place, you know, and the place of resolution and completion, place where planets set and disappear, the ruler of his midheaven, the public place, the place of career, Mars after that long Mars retrograde, Mars stations, turns direct, Jupiter goes over the moon in the west, feels like retirement.
And an omen of bounty and inner fulfillment, right?
Yeah, like seems like satisfied and complete. I mean, I know that it's easy for us who don't really know anything about his personal life to say, oh, well, you know, he left his wife and family for one more year of football. I've listened to a number of people say, you know, kind of refute that and say, like, there, you know, there's a lot more going on than just I want to play football. You know, so just remember that there's a marriage is a complex, deep thing. And when people decide to get divorced, you know, it's not just usually one thing that causes it. And I heard people saying that on some national programs that are close to Tom Brady. So I thought it's important to keep that in mind, even though there may be an element of truth to the fact that he, you know, lost his marriage over the desire to keep playing. But I think that may have, you know, a lot of things that end up in the media are headlines that are designed to be polarizing. And so I just kind of keep that in mind and think, well, this looks, you know, I hope that he's happy and I hope that whatever this next phase of life is for him, you know, as I would for anyone, I hope it is some kind of peaceful transition.
You know, there's only one thing that gives me pause about the finality of it. And I think that it does feel much more final. I just, you know, I'm curious what's going to happen in the summer when Venus goes retrograde. It's the ruler of his first house. It's the ruler of his sun and Saturn. where he starts to be like, oh, I miss it. Oh, I miss it, you know? and I heard an interesting theory in another like sports talk radio, like he wants to be close to his kids in like Florida. And maybe if like Tua has a problem and he can't come back, maybe Miami is a place where he could feel comfortable being close right. to his kids and having a ready situation that's probably better than what Tampa Bay was. So if we creak the door open even just a little bit, that seems like the type of situation that would appeal to him. But as a person who's like, just let someone else win for once, Tom.
Stay retired.
You know?
As a guy who's turning 46 this year too, I tried to coach my kid's wrestling team, and I did it. But man, just like rolling around with 9-year-olds left me stiff and sore. I can't even imagine. Now I eat nightshades. So
oh, he is a marvel, though. I mean, regardless of whether you like him or you hate him, he's had quite an amazing career. And I think that we should acknowledge that. Like he has been the ultimate winner as far as, you know, an athlete is concerned. And he deserves respect for that. I guess I'm ready to see the torch be passed to someone else, which I think would be interesting. But he deserves a little tip of the cap here.
Maybe as soon as not this weekend, but next.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it would be to me, like if I had to, like, I think the only other quarterbacks left in the league that I have this like personal, like, I'm excited to be an NFL fan once they're gone. Aaron Rodgers, even though he's phenomenal. Yeah. I actually, my respect for him because he's taken to drinking ayahuasca has gone up significantly, just because I think it's just something I can relate to. And so I have a lot of personal respect for people who like go through that experience and try to become a better person. And I've watched him a number of times on the Pat McAfee show. And although I know he's said a lot of controversial things and, you know, there's a lot of reasons to make him into a villain. But I also think that people are complex. And to me, anyone who goes to the lengths of an ayahuasca ceremony and talks about it, a panchakarma cleanse and talks about it, there's something more to them. And so I really do, like, I don't want to see him leave because I think he's a villain. I really try not to get too personally involved. Like, you know, so someone does something that's like super heinous, you know, like Deshaun Watson. I don't know if I can ever be a fan again. You know what I mean? But with the Aaron Rodgers stuff, it's like, I can't make him into a villain because he seems like a complex character to me. So I'm not going to do that. But I would like to see him leave for competitive reasons, you know, just like leave the NFL so that I can see different faces winning. I think that's what I like parody. And then Kirk Cousins, who I want to see leave the NFL forever so that my team can have a chance at winning anything. Because as long as he's there, there is about a 95% chance that when it matters, there will be a check down behind the sticks rather than a pass for a first down or a touchdown. So once Kirk and Aaron retire, then I'm good.
I think it's a great point.
I just want to go on record saying I'm a fan of half of what he just said.
Right.
I mean, I think it's a great point that these people are human beings. They're complicated. It's very easy to be like, you know, backseat driver, make these judgments from our ivory towers of their character and things like that. But I don't know if we really truly know these folks. And I think that you're right. They are complicated beings who play a game for a living and have rustly or not been had thrust upon them the weight of their words, the weight of their occasion. I mean, sometimes do we really care what these people think? I mean, they literally throw a leather ball around for a living. Like, do their other thoughts actually matter? But because of their status as like modern day gladiators or people of interest or famous people, yes, we do project some of those things onto them. As far as the competitive balance, I'm just waiting for my boy Jordan Love to be the next great quarterback for the next 15 years. I'm just gonna relish in that when he becomes the next great quarterback.
Well, one can only wish for never ending and perpetual success at the quarterback position. All right, let's move into our real, like, the real portion of the show that we're really excited about today, obviously, to spend some time on the Super Bowl here. So LVII, that's 57. Do I have that right? I think it's Super Bowl 57.
I believe it's Super Bowl 57, but the LVII does not help me at all.
Yeah. Going back to like learning Roman numerals, I think that it's 57.
Yes.
So 57. We'll go with that.
That's right.
Super Bowl 57. I want to go back, first of all, and, you know, just give Spencer a little bit of love. We were looking early in the season. I think it was in October. And we were looking at, you know, just different transits that were happening in the charts of some of the coaches and players. And based on transits, who did it look like might be playing in the big game? You know, and Spencer looked at some charts and said, I think that it's going to be the Eagles and the Chiefs. Now, granted, they were already off to a good start. Both teams were, but there were also many other teams in the hunt. Buffalo was highly favored. I think Buffalo was probably the odds on favorite through Vegas at that point to win the Super Bowl, along with the Chiefs. But you also had a variety of other teams throughout the year that were in the hunt, and definitely the top four remaining teams. You could have made a case for any of them, the Bengals, the 49ers, et cetera. So I think it was a really good pick. I wonder if before we go into our predictions, you could tell us how you arrived at your pick back in October that you thought the Eagles and Chiefs would make the Super Bowl, and just take us through it again, because that was maybe one of the highlights of our series so far, really, that you called that.
Sure. Do you want to see a chart with it?
Of course.
I do. Yeah.
Okay. So let me share the screen here. And let's see what we got.
Check out this jug I got. This makes sure that I drink
water. That's quite a bit of water.
It's a gallon. And it's like, amazing. It has little markers on it. 8 nice. A.m. Let's do this. 12 p.m. You've got this.
Nice. I love it. I got my water and my little protein shake here.
So, I'm old school.
Nalgene.
Nice.
Looks like anime stickers.
So I've got the chart up here if you want to just take a little...
Whatever my kids gave me.
Two. So here's what I'm looking at here. So this is the chart of Super Bowl 57. And what I... Just to give the technique without having to bring up like a million charts. The basics of the technique was I was looking at coaches and comparing their natal chart to the chart of the championship game, because we have time chart championship games. So we know when the game's going to start, and historically we've known exactly when those games start. So even though we have time charts for like many athletes, many coaches, we can still see how they interact with the game itself. One of the patterns I was seeing through multiple sports, like through baseball, through basketball, football, was that the losing coach of the champion game often would have a promotion with either south node of the game with one of their natal planets, or their natal was hitting one of the prominents of the game chart itself. And pattern, I use that pattern to predict Dusty Baker winning the World Series, because previously last year he lost the World Series and he had that South Node connection. And this year he had a much better go of it, and the losing coach had the South Node connection, Rob Thompson, and he lost. So I was looking at coaches, and I the first one that really stuck out to me was Nick Sirianni. This is why I made the prediction. I didn't know exactly at the time who would win the Super Bowl. I was like, there's a couple people I could see being in the game, but I felt pretty strongly. And I know this is where I get the blowback from the Philadelphia fans that Nick Sirianni would, and that is because you can see the connection between the game, chart. So if we look at the game chart on the inside, sorry, I keep flipping it, but this is the game chart, the inner ring of Super Bowl 57. And then we see the outer ring, Sirianni's chart, with his natal south node making contact with Mercury in the particular chart of the game. Now, another little part of that was that it was even more effective when the planet contacting the south node was the ruler of the coach's natal sun. So here we have Sirianni with the sun in Gemini, and his like ruling planet of his natal sun, the host of his sun, is hitting the south node here. Okay, so for his south node, that planet that rules his sun. So to me, that's the south node represents something leaving, like a drain of some sort, like a old processing, potentially like old circumstances and karma, but like it's a reduction in fortune, I would say, like that causes you to have like a, I guess you can call it like a come to Jesus moment, where you're like, I've lost something that's precious. Maybe I need to like find God again or something like that, potentially, right? Because you know, in the Jyotish system, they consider the south node something they aspire to, because they're practicing non-attachment in much of those cultures. Whereas the evolutionary astrologers of Western civilization were trying to move us towards the north node of attachment to physical reality and increase, right? So that was the first thing I saw with Nick Sirianni here. If we look at Andy Reid's chart, if we pull Andy Reid up here for just a second. Now, this was a little bit tougher, but I did see a pattern. I went back and I looked at Andy Reid's charts, because Andy Reid is an interesting case. He's been in the Super Bowl. This will be his third Super Bowl, and he's won one and he's lost one. So even though he does not have the prominent, like, nodal connection, although he is experiencing his nodal reposition, I guess you'd call it, or his reverse nodal return, which does speak to interesting events happening in your life. The pattern that I noticed for Andy Reid that gave me a little bit of hope for him is that in every victory that he's had, Venus has been on his sun-moon combination in Pisces. Now, there may be some debate about where his moon is, as far as like, because it's not exactly a time chart, but when he won the Super Bowl in 2019, Venus was in Pisces. Exalted Venus was on his sun and moon. When he lost the Super Bowl in year 22, that was last year, wasn't it? He 55, Super Bowl 5 in 2022, Venus was in Aquarius, so it was not on the sun and the moon. And this year we have with an exalted Venus being on his natal sun. So that was one reason I picked it. Did I cut out there at all?
Yeah, no, that made sense.
Okay. So yeah, that was my call with this. I was looking at the Buffalo Bills coach's chart, and he didn't really have any of those important contacts. He had a Mars return, and I believe that Kip was like, he'll probably be at home punching his wall or something, which could very well be the case.
That's funny. Yeah, it's a really interesting method to look at those south node contacts, and to note that was successful for you earlier this year when you called the World Series winner based on basically the same kind of technique that you're using here. So yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I always like to play this game, and maybe you don't play it until afterward, but I'll play this game after I'm pretty sure of something like this. I'll say, well, okay, let's say I end up being wrong. Then is there anything I can see right now that would give my room to pause and say, well, if it was the other way around, this is where I guess I would probably have gotten it wrong. Not that I'm trying to second guess myself. I'll still go with my gut in terms of making a prediction. But do you do things like that, Spencer? Have you looked at this and said, like, if I were to get it wrong, where would it be?
Sure. I think that's always good practice to learn from your mistakes as well. Like, I tried this technique with the World Cup, and I incorrectly predict the winners of that. Although I you know, put my chips forward with Croatia, and they ended up getting third place in the World Cup, which for a nation of 4 million was quite a big success. I saw some really successful attacks in the coach of Croatia. In this particular chart, I guess the one argument that you is that Andy Reid's natal Jupiter is conjoining the south node of the game. So if I were to look back and I say, oh, well, he does have south node content, I think that that could be the argument that you could make if he does end up losing the game, as he does have a south node contact with the chart of the game. I just, the south node contact that Sirianni has is so much tighter, and I think that we have a pattern of Venus being exalted when Reed wins the Super Bowl. So those are the two things that I'm saying. You know what? Yes, there could be some questions about this, but at the end of the day, those factors are still making me bullish on the Chiefs.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
So at the risk of jumping on my own touchdown call, what I see is Uranus in the bendings. So in other words, Andy Reid's natal Uranus at 7 Leo, right in between the nodes. And I'll share and I'll show you. I actually went through a number of charts for each team. And the reason I did that was because the week before I was so happy with Joe Burrow. I was so excited about how great his chart looked for the Super Bowl. And then I checked Pat Mahomes. It looked not equally as good, but very, very good. And so I added another player. And then I added Andy Reid. And then I added one more guy. And it was almost completely balanced. And I went to the point where I really couldn't decide. But so I did a similar thing with these guys. Let's see if I can pick my monitor that I want. Screen two, share. Let's see, what do you guys see?
Oh, here we go. Sorry.
I think it's fascinating that we can see multiple techniques saying similar things, like with the divinatory nature.
There's Rihanna. We'll get back to her.
I can see you with a
shirt.
So
we have Andy Reid. I actually did that when I was discussing, as I did good omens and I did even better ifs. And with Andy Reid, you can see the good omen is Venus. He's got Venus really tightly combining with a number of prominent places in his chart. I don't need it because I did so many, I'm not going to go through it too thoroughly, but Venus is obviously the omen in the sky right now that's the most positive, but he's got natal Uranus in the transiting bendings.
Can you scroll up a little bit? Cause we can't see the chart.
Share the chart instead of your entire desktop, and then we won't have to see all team or whatever that is in the background.
Yeah. All right, let me try again. Sorry. As we have established here,
is that your wrestling team?
Very professional podcasters.
That is actually not my wrestling team. That is my AmeriCorps team.
Nice.
They should be showing up now.
Okay. Well, maybe they deserve some screen time.
There we go.
They would say they do. So here we go. Here we have the Super Bowl on the inside. I actually use a different time than you, Spencer, and I just double checked. I think I'm right based on the time zones. But it's the same principle. It's that the Super Bowl is on the inside because it's stable, and it really doesn't matter except when I get to Rihanna. But you can see here's Andy's natal Uranus, and here are the nodes. And that's what it's called when you're in the bendings, is that you are halfway between or making a square with the nodes of fate. So we'll go down and we'll look at, I did both the Kelce brothers because I think it's fascinating that two of the best players in these teams, I think you could argue the best player on the Eagles is their center, Jason Kelce, and his brother, who might be the most prolific pass catcher of all time at tight end, is playing on the team against him. I think that's kind of amazing.
Yeah,
that's cool. Here's Travis Kelce, the tight end. I will come back up. But you see, we have the north node conjoined, natal north node conjoined transiting sun, which is a really benefic you know, once every 17-year transit. Like, this is like, he's shining. I if Travis Kelce has fewer than 8 catches in this game, I'd be shocked. And we have transiting Jupiter and Aries squaring natal Jupiter. And that's, again, this isn't necessarily, we have a square. It's not a, you know, one of those harmonious aspects, but that really signifies more. And in this situation where a guy just catches passes, unless Moore is dropping the ball on the ground, and Jupiter generally doesn't do that, that's just good. And even better if we have natal Mercury opposing transiting Neptune. So if you want to look for something that might go on with Travis Kelce, is maybe there's some boner play that happens. But Mahomes, this is fascinating. Patrick Mahomes' chart, A, is one of the most gorgeous charts you can look at. I mean, look at, we have Venus at home in Libra. We have Mars at home in Scorpio. We have Jupiter at home in Sagittarius. I mean, this guy was destined to be a legend at whatever his pursuits were. And then you have this transiting exalted Venus, just such a benefic planet in such a great place, conjoin his natal Saturn. Just so many positive transits going on. I'm not going to break it all down, but let's just keep in mind that the Patrick Mahomes chart is just a walking good luck charm. We do have an even better if we have natal Mars and Scorpio conjoin the transiting South Node. Mm-hmm. But quite honestly, the guy played on one leg last week and it was to his benefit.
Yeah.
You know, he had to actually take a minute and throw a good pass rather than just run around like a goon and do things other people can't. And finally, I did, well, actually there's two more, but I did Chris Jones. Chris Jones is their best defensive player. And again, I did this because last week I went down a list and it was hard to find some, you know, a gap. And honestly, when I was doing the World Cup, it was kind of similar. Like, the good players, as you would assume, are playing in their biggest event of their lives, and they all looked pretty good. Like, good stuff was happening. So again, we have transiting Venus in Pisces, trining his North Node. And that's just a really benefic transit. The North Node, the place you're headed in life, this Venus, and one of the best places Venus can possibly be in trining it. That's just really good stuff. We get to Clark Hunt again. Clark Hunt's the owner and the president of the team. Clark Hunt, similarly, transiting North Node in Taurus, trinatal North Node, and Pluto in Virgo. So this is a big day for him, a big day to make lots of money. When we think Pluto and we think guys that are really rich, and we think their nodes, we think guys, Pluto expanding those resources. But if we look, we have natal Uranus opposing transiting Sun. So here is natal Uranus, here is transiting Sun, and it's exact. That is a disruptive and an unpredictable situation. So we have two people in leadership positions with the Chiefs, and we have unpredictability. Like, how do you, like, can't tell what's going to happen. But we have the leader of the team whose chart is like a horseshoe up the butt of a goose that lays the golden egg. And his chart looks amazing. So now we go to the Eagles. We have Nick Sirianni. We talked about Nick a lot already. Nick's chart looks good. Transiting Mercury, trine, natal Mars and Gemini, and Jupiter, Saturn, and Libra. I didn't point this out with Andy Reid, but Andy Reid has a transiting trine that's all in air, and so does Nick Sirianni, which tells me there's going to be a lot of passing in this game, which makes sense. A, because the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, maybe the greatest throwing quarterback of all time, especially the most creative. I don't think that's up for debate. And if there's a place that if the Eagles are going to attack the Chiefs' weakness, it's going to be through the air. So what we see is a lot of throwing the ball around, which, again, that's an unpredictability factor because they don't throw it as much as they run it. And we've already seen there's tons of unpredictability in these charts already. Here's Jason Kelce, the center.
Can you go back up just 1 second? I have a question about the chart. So which one is the
Super Bowl? Super Bowl is inside.
Inside. Okay.
Yep.
So this Super Bowl features the moon in Scorpio opposite Uranus as well, right?
Yes. So that was going to get to that at the end.
Okay, yeah. Sorry. Keep going.
So this is a very Uranian day.
Super like, Uranian
and
moment.
Especially at the start, if you use that as the omen for the game, it's going to feel weird, like weird stuff, which I think is pretty fun. Yeah.
Could be
great.
Some injuries,
like,
too, like unexpected. Keep going.
Yes, unexpected, weird. Jason Kelce, one of the best players in the game for 5 or 6 years now, a Hall of Famer at center. His brother plays the other team, just bizarrely. His good omens, we have transiting Jupiter co-present with his natal Jupiter. Now, that's not a huge, like, once in a 20-year type thing, and it's not right on point, but this is really a benefic thing. This is the type of thing when you have a friend who maybe isn't into astrology and you see they're having their Jupiter return, it's like, hey, buddy, the next, you know, 8 to 12 months are big for you. Take advantage of it. Mercury, sextile natal Mercury. His brain's going to work fast, and it needs to. His hands are going to be dexterous. They need to be. Transiting Sun, sextile, his Saturn, Uranus, and natal Jupiter. So we have more good, lucky things. So what this really tells me is that the Eagles' best player is going to be playing really good. He's not their quarterback, though. And here we get to Jalen Hurts. Now, Jalen Hurts does not have a bad transit for this game. This does not look like Jalen Hurts is gonna drop the ball. I'm going to drop a little bit and just say it, and we can go back up because I don't know if you guys have looked at his chart. Transiting Venus and Pisces, trine, natal, Venus, Mars, conjunction, and Cancer. That is super benefic. Like you can, and I can't repeat that enough. So this is Jalen Hurts, the biggest day of him playing football. Here is Venus and Pisces. This is where Venus is at her most potent, and she is trining his natal Venus Mars conjunction, probably the most prominent placement in his chart. So Jalen Hurts is having a good, lucky, productive day. And we also have transiting Venus. It's also co-present with his natal Jupiter, which is also in a great spot in Pisces. The one thing with Jalen Hurts is transiting Mercury is conjoined to his natal Neptune. We talked about this a little bit, and square natal Saturn. So if you're going to have a boneheaded play, if you're going to space out for a drive or two, having Neptune on top of Mercury, that's where that happens. And having that square Saturn, we can go up just a little bit. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Here's Saturn squaring that Neptune Mercury. So thinking, cognition, using your hands, Neptune foggy, losing track of things, squaring Saturn, that's repercussions. That's like something happened and you ran into a wall. So of everything we've looked at in this whole game, seeing their quarterback have this happen, we can talk about Uranus, we can talk about unpredictability, and we can talk about how that factors in good or bad. This is Saturn. This is really having a negative thing take place. Finally, we're going to go back. Well, I have two more. Hasan Riddick. And Hasan Riddick, I think, is going to have a big game. And it's for a funny reason. Look at me push buttons. It's because Hasan Riddick, excuse me, anyone who has a squeezy tummy, actually has transiting Moon in Scorpio conjunct natal Jupiter Venus. So you see, but this is opposite the Uranus. So the most lucky spot in Hasan Riddick's chart, this both benefics conjoined each other in Scorpio. We could talk about, you know, how happy Venus is in Scorpio, but she's right there next to Jupiter. Is in contact with this, the fundamental part of the game, the thing that's going to be the marker for the game, the beginning of this game, having Uranus opposite the moon. Hasan Reddick's an X factor. He's the kind of guy that gets off the edge, sacks the quarterback, disrupts things. This is just another reason why I think this is a Uranus type game, an unpredictable game where weird stuff happens. And the fortunes of the owner and of the coach of the Chiefs are really tightly connected to Uranus in this game. And again, the X factor of the Eagles right there. Finally, we get to Jeffrey Lurie, who is the owner of the Eagles, and we see just some immaculate stuff, as you could expect from a guy who's more or less a self-made billionaire. We see Jupiter return. We see Jupiter trine. Now, this is natal. Trine, Jupiter trine Mars natally, but then it connects right into Mars. So this is a day of it's almost like a general or a king going and watching his army in battle, and it goes well for them. We even have natal sun trine this Uranus and sextile this moon. So a benefic contact between what I'm saying is the biggest part of this game. And now you say, Kip, you've just looked at this whole thing and it looks really close. I don't see any omens on one side or the other, other than Jalen Hurts having a couple boneheaded plays. I think this is a Uranian game. I think it's unpredictable. I think it's hard to really come to a conclusion. But if you make me pick, I'm still going to take the Chiefs. And the reason I'm going to take the Chiefs is that Patrick Mahomes is A, having as benefic set of transits as a guy can have, and B, he is fundamentally a difference maker, a changer of events, a guy who does things that aren't common and aren't the way in which other folks do it. He runs to his right, throws an underhanded pass left over, you know, a defensive lineman, and he gets caught by his guy for a 15-yard pass. So I think that if what you're telling me is we're going to have an unconventional game full of unconventional things and the rich guys are going to get richer, who's going to come out on top? I'm going to take the guy that plays an unconventional style who's having one of the best days of their life. And that's where I come out on.
Interesting.
You know, you also, like, I think Patrick has a chart that's made him better than Tom Brady's. Do you know what I'm saying? I think at the end of the day, if we're looking back at this like 10, 15 years from now, we might be talking about Patrick Mahomes as the GOAT. He has that kind of fortune in his chart as far as like for success, luck. Because at the end of the day, these are all super talented, like crazy uber freak athletes. And oftentimes I think the planets are going to show you the fortune that they have, you know, and like Brady had that Venus right on the midheaven that was just like making him really lucky in these playoff games. That wasn't good, but he had extra good fortune with that. And I think Mahomes has that same thing. The other thing, just to piggyback off what you're saying, Kip, is that, you know, Mahomes got better. This is what Adam was saying too. He got better when he was hurt, you know, and to me, that's Mars in Scorpio to T. Like he's got his back against the wall. He's facing death and he's just going to fight like hell. Like, and so I really enjoy watching him play. And I think this is a really interesting Super Bowl. As far as the other Uranian influence that I think we could see, is this is actually the first Super Bowl where we have two black starting quarterbacks, which is a really big paradigm shift for the NFL and shattering a lot of glass ceilings and you know, the way things have been in the league. So I think that's really, it's really interesting, really cool to see as well.
That's great to point out, and I'll be honest, I didn't even think about it when I was looking at the charts, but that's true. And unfortunately, that is a bit Uranian in and of itself.
You guys ready for my curveball?
Oh, no.
Hell yeah.
We're going to talk about Chad Henne.
All right. Chad Henne, the guy that sent Tom Brady to the bench at Michigan?
Yeah. Chad Henne is the backup for the Kansas City Chiefs and would be called upon to play in Patrick Mahomes' place should Patrick Mahomes' ankle give him problems on a very Uranian day, right? I'm not saying, I don't want to wish injury upon anyone, but do we have any evidence that this could be an incredible moment for Chad Henne? And he's come in and played for Patrick Mahomes before in the playoffs and kept them alive. Well, look at this. He's got Mars opposite, transiting Mars is opposite his natal Uranus, and the moon is on his south node while Uranus is on his north node. Right? He has transiting Jupiter hitting his sun in a square. Right? And what was the other one I was looking at? This one's kind of, I don't know what to make of this. Mercury opposite Mercury. Let's see. I thought there was one
transiting
more.
His natal Jupiter is trining transiting Mars too.
Wait a second. Okay,
down below in
Aquarius. There we go. So we got transiting Mars, natal Jupiter. So I
like
just
those arrows, by the way, are sweet.
Yeah. Well, and you can get them too. It's called Epic Pen, I think it's called. It's free, and you can just, and then you can draw on your own screen. Well, but do you guys see what I'm saying? Where it's like,
yeah,
you could actually make the case that this chart could be. Now, look, if you're a backup and you win a Super Bowl, this is still a chart that could be reflective of being on the sideline winning a Super Bowl, because that's a life-changing event regardless. But this does strike – it just strike me that there's some really interesting contacts in his chart on the day of the Super Bowl. So I just thought I'd throw that curveball out there and see.
That's a great Uranian curveball right there.
Yeah, you know? I thought you guys would like that one.
It's also like you have a lucky charm who you go sit next to on the bench every time you come off the field.
Yeah, right.
You know, we also mentioned that this is the first time that those brothers have played each other in the Super Bowl, and it's Mars and Gemini. So we have two warriors squaring off in the Super Bowl. And the other time where we had the Super Bowl with two brothers as coaches, Jupiter was Gemini. So the two sages were like facing off with one another.
Those were the Harbaugh brothers, right?
Yeah, yeah. Was, yep. In just 47.
So everyone knows. 49ers and the Ravens.
Yeah.
When they met up. And the lights went out during that show. You remember during the Super Bowl, was it halftime? Or when? Remember the lights went out?
Yes, there was like a huge delay in one of those games, wasn't there?
Like, yeah, it was like a power outage.
I think, well, you know, what everyone's been waiting for, though, what's going to happen with Rihanna? I mean, come on, we have to at least look.
I've got it loaded up. We can check out Rihanna.
Come on, Adam. We need to look at
her. No, we got to talk about Rihanna. I have a chart that we're going to look at as a requiem to a player this year.
Okay.
We'll do that once we're done with Super Bowl stuff. I thought we were, but I forgot Rihanna.
Oh, okay. So Rihanna. Okay. Share screen.
It's funny how, like, you know, if you're not someone who knows astrology well, listening to Kip go through that list, you could be like, I could imagine, like, you know, if you're a dude and you're listening to this, your wife's got those things, she's like trying to get you into this, you'd be like, all right, so who the hell do you think is going to win? You know, you get through. But one of the things that's really amazing, and I hope that everyone who knows, if you know astrology a little bit better, what Kip just did to unpack why this is going to be a really special day for those people and players was magnificent. So if you know astrology, you know that, like, all the transits that Kip was pointing out in those charts suggests, like, this is probably one of the biggest days in those people's lives. And that can be something to look at regardless of just being like, okay, who wins? But regardless, I you know, you sort of came to the conclusion that
is my chart sharing?
No, I can put it up now.
It says it is. All right, let me drag it.
Yeah, no, I have to put it up once you put it up.
Oh, so you can't trick me like that, Adam. I'm not sophisticated. All right, whenever you're ready.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm like, what did I do wrong?
No, there you go. Okay,
lift
go ahead.
Up. Lift him up.
So we do have I'll let you guys talk about this. We do have a chart that someone thought was a legit chart for Rihanna. It's only C from Astro.com, so don't take too much into it. I did use the Super Bowl underneath the same way, so you can see. My number one thing I thought about was that, you know, I was going to predict if she went over whatever the time limit was for the weird bet for the oh, she's not singing the national anthem, though. She's doing the halftime show. I do want to hear what you guys say, kind of more than I even want to talk about this, but something I thought was really interesting is she turned down the Super Bowl once in 2020, and the reason she said she did it was because the NFL was blackballing Colin Kaepernick due to his protest to the national anthem, and when that happened, her natal Mercury in that day was exactly on top of the transiting sun. And what we see today is that same natal Mercury is really involved in this chart. So we see exactly trining that transiting Mars. And we also see Rihanna's natal Venus right in there. So this is the most potent connection in this chart, kind of besides the fact that Rihanna's natal North Node is conjoined this but I'm going to go out on somewhat of a limb and say that Rihanna is going to make some kind of a protest regarding the horrific beating death of the young man in Memphis, and that we are going to see Rihanna again use her Mercury, her voice, which she did in Silence last time, shining through Aquarius. We're going to see that Aquarian do your own thing voice make combat in a way that that might even be well received, but definitely is going to show up glitzy on the big stage. Mm. All right, that's what I got. What do you guys see when you look at this? Big day for her.
I'm really narrowing in on that Venus Neptune conjunction on her North Node. I mean, I feel like she's going to be projecting this this glamorous image, maybe even this oceanic vision, right? And you know, I think that it's going to be a very emotional performance, regardless. I mean, I was making the joke about the Lift Me Up song, but every time I hear that recently, I'm like, oh man, this really gets you. I mean, it really just hits you in the heart chakra. So I think that I think she's really going to make us feel something as a collective with that North Node hitting the Neptune.
Speaking of hitting in the heart chakra, I would bet that at some point during this Super Bowl, we see something about Damar Hamlin.
Oh yeah,
some kind of tribute or his charity or I don't know. I just doesn't it feel like that was a headline of the year that somehow gets wrapped into the narrative of the Super Bowl? Feels like it could.
Totally.
Any thoughts on Rihanna?
Well, yeah, I mean, going back to, well, I guess the thing that made me think of that was like using your voice and what might be spoken to during that's kind of, so that was kind of why I was dovetailing there. But yeah, I mean, I love what you said, Kip, about the, just the idea that, you know, that this, the signature of Mercury retrograde is really strong in her chart. And the fact that we have kind of a return going on would suggest to me that there is like there's some way in which your voice is being used to something. You're speaking to something that feels right to me. That feels spot on. And also the fact that we have a Jupiter return moment and there's a Jupiter return in Aries with sort of the moon and Venus in Aries over that natal Jupiter feels like, you know, her in all of her sort of fierce feminine glory will be on display probably in the costumes that she's, you know, costumes. I don't know what they call them, like stage craft or whatever it is. But like fierce and outspoken, kind of a warrior goddess vibe that I would pick
larger
up from
than
that.
Life too. Lots of Jupiter and Neptune.
Well, you think about the song that her most popular song right now is from, you know, the Black Panther Wakanda Forever soundtrack, right? And some of the themes of a fallen warrior, right? So like if you're connecting what Kip was saying about making a protest for the slain young man and then connecting that with like the kind of the same vibe that you're seeing in Wakanda Forever and having it be a unifying cathartic experience, I think that's going to be really powerful.
It would fit with the Uranian theme of the day. You know, like just the idea that there's this sort of Uranian energy in the air, that there would be some speaking out and speaking truth to power, that kind of theme. It just goes with the Uranian transit of the day. Yeah.
Indeed.
Well, I know that like one of the reasons that I love the halftime performances, even though I'm not like I never have really gotten that into them. But one of the reasons that I love them is because it is the way that I end up getting my wife and kids to watch it with me.
I'm just going to say that. My daughter literally goes to another room. She eats the snacks I make and then she comes in for the halftime.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So, yeah, you know, one of the things that is a real possibility is there we have a family member who is probably preparing to go into hospice and it's possible that the Super Bowl will be a time for some family to get together after he's entered hospice and maybe have a moment of trying to have, you know, some lightness. And so I'm thinking like, gosh, it's interesting that we'll have the fallen moon in Scorpio right at that time opposite Uranus is kind of this event in my family background that could be
you know, trying to seek a little shelter and comfort and familiarity in a ritual like the Super Bowl with family. So I thought that was, I was looking at that and thinking about it. And so Rihanna could, you know, with that in the air, you just do get the feeling that her performance could be emotionally galvanizing for a lot of people. A lot of people bring a lot, I think, to the table in, you know, a waning moon, you know, a waning moon in Scorpio opposite Uranus. It's like a lot that people probably bring to this game that emotionally that they may not even know. And it's funny how collective events, as they always have, collective sporting events can act as conduits for catharsis.
Yeah, I agree. You know, you've got the sun and the moon, the two lights in like both in its exile and its fall too. So potentially shining light on, you know, systemic oppression or things of that nature, or people that have been cast into exile could be part of that as well.
Right. Well, this was great. Thank you, Kip, for bringing this in. I want to, are we ready to move on? I want to bring one last thing up before we go for the day. Unless you guys, either of you guys have anything more you want to add about the Super Bowl, I have a chart we're going to look at, a requiem for an NFL player. So I personally feel like this was one of the saddest, like most karmically unfortunate events of the year. And it happened to one Brock Purdy, the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, who tears his UCL in the NFC Championship game. He's this Mr. Irrelevant, you know, like last round draft pick, seventh round. You know, I think it was a seventh round draft pick, that, you know, Mr. Irrelevant. He comes and just balls out for like 6-7 weeks. I mean, he's looking amazing. Quarterback controversy brewing in San Francisco with Trey Lance injured, Jimmy Garoppolo injured, and probably on his way out after this year. And this first round pick, you know, they traded several first rounders to get Trey Lance. He breaks his ankle. We talked about that earlier in the year when we looked at his chart in the Mars retrograde. Brock Purdy comes in, like a seventh round pick, and plays like he's a first round pick. Which forever, you know, to me proves the mantra that these draft analysts, they just don't include karma. Like it's like, you can still, like, it's amazing how the highest picks and the mid round, like Jalen Hurts was a second round pick. He's playing better than a lot of the QBs who were selected ahead of him, which I believe included, like, maybe it was Zach Wilson and Trey Lance and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, he comes in, he plays incredibly well, and then has this devastating injury. He's going to be out until, I think, into training camp, if not longer, with the repair on a torn UCL. I was looking at his transits and just thought, we should take a moment, because if you're a 49ers fan, that had to be soul-crushing. They couldn't, their fourth-string quarterback came in and got a concussion and had to leave. Purdy comes back in. He cannot throw the ball. He can only hand it off. So the game was like, I mean, it was a joke of a game. It was sad. It was really sad to watch. And this is a terrible way for the 49ers season to end, but also like this unfortunate turning point where you go from meteoric rise, and maybe he still will be. But now with his injury and Trey Lance also coming back from injury, you can bet that there's probably going to be a quarterback competition in San Francisco. Whereas had he won that game or played well in that game, he's probably the uncontested starter in San Francisco next fall, I would guess. So anyway,
this is why NFL GMs need astrologers on the payroll. That's so right. They should put us into the war room.
That's right. But so you have, this is the date. Hold on. Actually, let me go back to, so we're looking at Sunday, January 29th. Saturn is conjoining his natal Mars. This is a noon chart. But Saturn is conjoining his natal Mars. Saturn is squaring his natal Venus. So he has a Venus-Mars square that's getting activated by Saturn. That alone can, I mean, that to me, especially Mars on Saturn when it comes to the breaking of joints or ligaments or bones, structures in the body that tear or break, that's a Mars-Saturn trait for sure. But also, and I think, Kip might have, or Spencer might have told me this initially on Instagram when we were talking about it. Mars is opposite his natal Pluto, transiting Mars opposite Pluto. I had that when I broke my arm. When I broke my arm in college playing a pickup game of football with my roommates, and I broke my arm. It was
transiting. It was Pluto opposite my natal Mars, actually, I think. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But it was a Mars Pluto thing. So I know that one can be pretty, that one can be pretty devastating. Also, important is Neptune squaring his natal Mercury, which at the very least is going to create some real confusion and cloudiness around his future. Maybe his status, his sense of mental clarity about where things are going, at least, for a little bit. He's certainly going to be wondering about it for the next couple of months. He's got Uranus sitting pretty close to natal Saturn.
Yeah.
So you can see that.
And the North Node.
Right. Yeah. So just like, oh man, what a bummer. And he's got Jupiter square his sun at the same time. Transiting Jupiter is square to his sun. Let me see if I can actually.
It's a big day.
So yeah, that big day.
If you want to give some hope to like the Purdy family, maybe it turns out like that movie from our youth, Rookie of the Year, where he like breaks his elbow and it like heals funny, and then he's like a flamethrower, like the little kid, you know?
Yeah. But
maybe that's how it turns out, right? Maybe there's some time where that's the case.
I believe, and let me just.
The funny part about looking at this, you were just talking about how I unpacked all those charts, and I want to be clear, I picked those because of the players were good and leaders of the team, not because of the transits they were having and how all those folks were having, once in a lifetime days and on a once in a lifetime event. This, and you didn't see Saturn Mars conjunctions, you didn't see Uranus Saturn conjunctions.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is the opposite of those charts. I just want people to be clear. If you're unfamiliar, you can go back and look at and clearly see there is a very big difference between the transits we're looking at in this chart and the ones I was looking at earlier.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was saying. Like in all of those charts, like that Kip brought up, you were really seeing these fantastic transits suggesting that even if they lose, this is a day that is, you could say this is a day where they're all going to the bank afterward. They're cashing a big check, really. That's the Super Bowl, though. If you make it to the Super Bowl, it's sort of like doesn't matter if you win or lose because it's a feather in your cap. And you can see that astrologically, even though I think I agree with you, Kip, that, the Chiefs really do look, it looks pretty good for Patrick Mahomes. And I'm still like the whole thing with Chad Henne. I'm really like, I would just be so tickled if, hopefully he doesn't hurt himself, but let's just say it's like he tweaks it. Look, I can't play on this foot. Chad Henne comes in, has the game of his life, wins the Super Bowl. Wouldn't that be nuts?
I mean, that'd be payback for like the Nick Foles Super Bowl, right? Where Nick Foles like just came in randomly one year and like won the Super Bowl. Dude.
Yeah, and I would be so happy since the Eagles beat us that year to go to the Super Bowl.
But, it is funny though, because when I pointed out that Chad Henne took Tom Brady's spot in college, that's true. Tom Brady was the quarterback in Michigan. He started his whole sophomore year. His junior year, Chad Henne was the number one recruit in the country and came in and took his job.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That is so funny. Yeah, because, yeah, well, anyway. And Tom Brady did okay. He did okay. Chad Henne has also done okay. I mean, in terms of, like, he's been a long-time NFL quarterback and backup and plays meaningful minutes, behind the greatest quarterback in the league. It's
that's a good gig making millions.
What a career, yeah.
That's a good gig making millions of dollars just like and not getting all of the crazy injuries that these guys get. They're like, oh yeah, here, clipboard, like cash and check.
I'm trying to remember the game where he came in and won. I think it was against the Titans or it was against the Chargers or the Bills or Bengals or something. Remember that playoff game where like he had to come in and like finish the game for Mahomes?
I mean,
like
he played really good halfway for half the game 2 weeks ago too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, crazier things have happened. Well, we'll see. So broadly speaking, we're saying this is a Uranian game. Watch for Uranus in this game. More specifically, I think we're all landing on the Chiefs. I haven't done the analysis that you guys have. I really sort of left that to you guys. But I lean in the same direction. Plus I just feel like, doesn't it feel like the stuff of legends and myths that an injured, like, it's like Jordan-esque for him to come in like with the flu, you know, like Jordan did, or with a hobbled ankle, and like he'll probably run for 80 yards and throw for 350, you know, I mean. And his legend is like, you can just see it
after
coming
from
miles
away. His great Hall of Fame wide receiver in the offseason.
Dude, I mean, the opposite, I guess Jalen Hurts could be out to set up his first win and start establishing himself as one of the top QBs in the league. Like, that'd be a storyline too, but it just feels like it feels like Patrick Mahomes' next Super Bowl win, and probably one in which he's going to have a narrative built around him that he is Wolverine, you know?
He's not even 27 yet. So, I mean, we're just seeing the very beginning of a blossoming, really amazing career, I think,
yeah.
Just looking at
yeah.
and everything.
I'll That's just the reiterate, thing is- there's a lot of competing information in the omens, but the guy who plays the most important position of any sport in his sport that has the most impact on the game is having immaculate transits to a chart that's already unbelievably fortunate. So yeah. It's hard to pick against that,
him because I don't want to have to hear about Tommy is the greatest of all time forever.
Like, he wants some competition.
Yeah, I want to see Mahomes take over that man at some point. So I'll be like, win as many as you want, just so I don't have to look at Tom Brady's face like anymore.
If there's anybody that's going to, it's probably going to be the guy who's gone to three out of the last four Super Bowls, including this one, four or five straight AFC championship games played at home or whatever it is. Like,
that's how many years he's been a starter. It's his fifth year starting.
Dude, you know what he's like? He's like when if you guys play Madden and you get your, you like level up one of your players to like God status, you know, they're like a 100 out of 100 player ranking. They're always, you know, and you're if you're Patrick Mahomes, you're basically just like a video game player. It's pretty crazy.
He's fun to watch too, you know.
Really, they should trade him to the Vikings for a second round pick.
You know what we should do? You know what'd be really fun? We should do this next time. Sometime, you know, when there's not big games or big things happening, we should really look at the charts of athletes who have somehow been so transcendent that they develop fans across the boundaries of their team. Michael Jordan, for example, Tiger Woods, there's lots, but I'm just saying it would be interesting to see what is it that attracts people to these transcendent players. Because the thing is that when I don't like the same teams winning all the time, I get sick of it. But you can't take your eyes off from and come to a – like, over time, I came to cheer for Tom Brady because I have to cheer for greatness. At a certain point, it's just like – I always would be like, if there was a team that deserved to win that hadn't won, I'd usually cheer for them and not Tom Brady. But there would be times where I just have to like – almost like, I surrender. You're great. And I have to just be like, wow, you're freaking great, you know? And like, what is it in the charts of those type of athletes? I think that'd be a fun one to look at.
That is a really, really great one. We should all come up with a few people and put them in a hat. This might be a time where those fixed stars come into play. But again,
yeah,
I know Jordan had, he had Pisces on the heaven. So that's one thing where the projection type of thing could happen. So, but
we all drank the collective Gatorade with that one.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And wore his shoes.
Yeah, totally. Well, this was a great episode today. You guys, thank you so much for being here. If you want to find Kip, you can find him on Twitter at @eudaimoniaastro. If you want to find Spencer, you can find him on Instagram at Spencer Michaud. If you want to find him on YouTube, you can also find his great content at Spencer Michaud Astrology. I have occasionally gone on and talked to him on some of his new and full moon forecasts. You can find lots of good things that these guys are up to. Really appreciate you guys coming on.
And I'll be doing a talk on the Super Bowl day, dude. So at your on your channel.
That's right. Actually, let me sorry. Good good that you are more aware of what's going on in my life than I am. I attribute that to children. I blame my kids for any kind of disorganization in my life. All right, if I go to courses on go to my website if you guys want to check this out. Nightlightastrology.com. Once you go there, click on events, click on the speaker series. Scroll down and you're going to see for our winter speaker series on Sunday, February 12th, that is Super Bowl Sunday, prior to the game. So you could watch this, get done. You'll have plenty of time to pregame and get ready and sit down and watch the game. At noon Eastern time, Spencer will be giving a talk called Stars and Cards, Tarot as an Astrological Storytelling Device. That is free. You can register there, get a link to join. If you can't make it, you can get the link and get a free download for a week, or a free replay link for a week. So you can check that out. Check out the other speaker series too. Yeah, we're really glad to have that coming up. And thanks for reminding me, Spencer.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you guys for being here. Thank you everybody for listening. And we hope that you enjoy the Super Bowl experience. Let us know your thoughts in the comments section. Who are you cheering for? Do you have any insights you want to add to our podcast today? We love to hear from you guys. And we will see you again next time. Take it easy, everyone. Bye.
Great seeing you guys.